Mr. Harris, would you please introduce the next item?
So I'll give you a choice of items. We could maybe it's best to do seven, which is Steve Moore, State Board Liaison Report. I think that would be the either that or it's board member reports. Your choice.
Let's do the Mr. Steve Moore's report.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Chair Wolf and Mr. Harris and honorable board members of the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board. I'm Stephen Moore, liaison of the state board to this region, and give you a liaison report. Much has transpired, and so I'll give you a sense of some of the things we've been doing in Sacramento that affect the Central Coast region, and then some things that are coming up. And then I have a summary of some legislation. It's that time of the year when the legislative process is well underway and coming to a close the next few weeks. And so I thought I'll pick out a few interesting items in legislation and then call it a report. So in the last couple months, we've been really busy. You know, we were busy in the spring, and we haven't seemed to let up. We adopted in July the model groundwater monitoring criteria under SB4, Pavley's bill on hydraulic fracturing. And so we have guidance for those oil and gas operations and setting up monitoring. And we were supposed to do that by June 30th. We made it by July 2nd or so. We try. And on August 4th, we adopted the general waste discharge requirements for composting. And we accomplished this not just with our staff, Scott Couch and other folks, but with a lot of help from the regional boards and guidance. And Taya Tryon was on that team. That order sets up tiers. They're based on risk to groundwater mostly. They're waste discharge requirements. They're not discharges to surface water. That would be if there's exposures, it would be under industrial stormwater type protections. And sometimes these facilities are covered under waste discharge requirements associated with the landfill where the composting operation is occurring. So we were pleased to get that done and hope that staff is finding it useful and that we're enrolling these sites to make sure that they protect water quality. Week and a half ago, September 16th, we officially discontinued discussions on the grazing issue. It was called the Grazing Regulatory Action Project, and we issued a resolution that discontinued those discussions. Now, it doesn't mean that we're not interested in the potential impacts of grazing and recognizing excellent voluntary efforts. And so through our non-point source program and our grant funding, we're going to pursue updating the voluntary BMT type program that UC Davis spearheads and that sort of thing. So out of those discussions, we had listening sessions. We concluded that the grazing regulatory program is best carried out at the regional board level. So that's we created a closure, and it was something we board members thought it would be very valuable to create closure, and then move on to the next step. We also adopted fees for our regulatory programs, and actually the MPDS stormwater fees came down, and we actually got a thank you letter. I know I've joked in the past that no one ever thanks us for lowering fees. They just complain about raising fees, but actually we got a thank you letter, so I was wrong about that. An interesting issue that comes out of the oil and gas regulations, the lead agency is Division of Oil and Gas and Geothermal Resources, or DOGGR, under the Department of Conservation. But over the last year and a half or so, the legislature has handed us more authorities with respect to the regulation of oil and gas operations, not just hydraulic fracturing. And we have a role as state board and regional boards, sort of as a team role. And then also we got staff resources for this through budget change proposals. And so there's some here in this region, and we've gained some staff at the state board. So an example of a process underway now that has formerly been more of a departmental decision, or, you know, a quick decision made, maybe not as methodically, about whether aquifers can be exempt from having discharges of oily waste put back in them. It's been more of a administrative process, I would say. So now it's become more of a public process. And one of the first aquifers that is being proposed for exemption is here in this region in Arroyo Grande. And so with this more public process, I think a couple of days ago, earlier this week, there was a public meeting, very well attended, maybe 200 people. And so this, I think, you know, with the philosophy of the board process, you know, this is probably going to benefit this whole process as far as making information available to people to get questions answered and not have this be something that's, quote-unquote, behind closed doors. And so this will be interesting moving forward as a team, and then also as a team with Dogger, having more sunshine on that process. Also, last month, August 19th, we had an all-day workshop on the State Water Board's Stormwater Strategic Initiative, and the official agenda title was Draft Proposal to Develop a Stormwater Program Work Plan and Implementation Strategy and Proposed Project List. We're getting specific about this strategic initiative, and we had a lot of discussion. We had panels at this workshop from California Association of Stormwater Quality Agencies, or CASQA, the Coast Keeper Alliance, California Council on Environmental and Economic Balance, CEEB, and then the Business Community Coalition. And so we had a lot of good discussion. There's 24 odd projects that we're contemplating working at the state board and with the regions. A lot of items are on your agenda today about stormwater, you know, and very relevant to these discussions about basically the fees we collect, which I mentioned earlier, gives us a certain amount of staff, and there's a certain amount of work we can accomplish. And that's what this work plan development comes from. So it really gets to, you know, what makes sense as far as at the line staff level, the type of work we do moving forward compared to where we've been. So it's an exciting opportunity. I think this region, as much as any other region in the state, has started to make the connection between stormwater as a resource, which is kind of the banner of this whole initiative, and you know, water supply benefits, water quality benefits, flood control benefits, et cetera. And so you're already at the vanguard with your initiatives, and you played an important role in the development of this initiative to date. Phil Hammer has assisted us, and I think Mr. Rock here will be very welcome to be on the statewide team. We expect to adopt a work plan. I don't know if it's going to be as early as October, but maybe November, based on this workshop. And we're excited about this, enthusiastic, I would say, because we think that we're turning the corner on stormwater as a resource. We have a lot of political wind at our back on this issue with the drought, and we look forward to leveraging what we've learned here and other parts of the state to move this forward using our authorities. So upcoming issues, have you ever heard of this Delta Tunnels thing? I mean, I know you're out here in the Central Coast, and I don't really talk much to you all about Delta issues, but we did receive the petition from the Department of Water Resources less than a month ago, and the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation. It's a change petition to us. And the name of the project is California Water Fix. And it's DWR and Reclamation are proposing to construct and operate facilities on the Sacramento River that will divert water near Cortland, California, and route it around the Delta through two tunnels to the existing state and federal pumping facilities in Tracy. This is now an application to change the point of diversion, and that's a major process. I just looked at my iPhone today. We've got our schedule set up for the Water Board to do public hearings from April to August. And it's going to be quite an undertaking. And so I guess that's a lot of the purpose of making this report to you is that your state water board is going to be consumed with this process because it also goes hand in hand with the Bay Delta water quality control plan updates, which are the flow criteria to go to the Delta that need to be balanced in with the water use and the water diversions. So it's all coming down. And we've done a lot of work leading up to it, but this will be more of the water rights type hearings. I was kind of joking around with your staff. I was looking at the drought report this week, and we have a weekly drought report, and there's not a lot going on with the Central Coast these days. Not to say that the drought's not here. And actually, Lisa McCann did a nice job of summarizing the Division of Drinking Water activities. And I won't go into those. And also, just the performance of the Central Coast cities has been remarkably superior as far as water conservation. So it's not to say that there's a lot of activity here. It's just that it's not like the Cambria or the Santa Barbara type activity that we had last year. But we don't know what's coming next if we have another dry year. So. When we talk about drought at the Water Quality Coordinating Committee next month, the WQCC, we're encouraging all the regions this year instead of doing a list of priorities for your region for the year like we used to do in the past. This year, it's how's the drought affecting your region and the workload and having to move people around and respond and what kind of things are coming up. We'll also be really drilling down on the issues of groundwater at the WQCC this year on Monday, October 12th, Tuesday, October 13th. We're going to have a plenary session where we have invited people from different state agencies. So you get a full sense of what, the new groundwater law and other issues. We're going to talk about, water rights and groundwater a little bit. And so there's so many different topics. And then we're going to use half the time to separate into the kind of the coastal and inland regions and then have an opportunity to answer questions, just have informal dialogue, but to better understand what the regional boards and the state boards' role are in groundwater management moving forward. So I might just quickly summarize some of the legislation that's under consideration. It's quite a volume of bills that are of interest to the State Water Board and regional water boards. There are 24 enrolled bills, which means they're pending the governor's action. They've been signed. And then there's 10 chaptered bills. And we talked about last time, we talked a little bit about a couple of those chaptered bills on agency consolidation for disadvantaged communities to get drinking water and that sort of thing. So there's 24 enrolled bills right now that relate to high-priority water issues and 10 chaptered. So I can't go over all of them. But it's also important to note that there are many other bills of high interest that were not passed by the legislature. So that's, 34 that are this far. But in general, those bills remain active and can be acted upon by the legislature beginning in January of next year, when they return from their recess. So it isn't just the 34. So I won't go over all 34. But the interesting one, AB 243 from Assemblymember Wood, is on medical marijuana. It would require the State Water Board, along with the Department of Fish and Wildlife, to expand enforcement activities statewide to ensure the reduction of adverse environmental impacts related to medical marijuana cultivation. And it would codify the current medical marijuana task force, what we're part of, institute fee authority, penalties, and a unique identifier program that's developed in coordination with the State Water Board for associated with licensing of medical marijuana cultivation. And there are other chaptered bills. There are other bills that have to be chaptered for this to go into effect, too. It's raising the awareness, the recognition that this is such a significant impact on water quality and water quantity in our state. And I'm also the liaison to the North Coast Regional Water Board, and they adopted a general waste discharge requirements for medical marijuana cultivation on August 14th or 15th. So, and it was attended, a very well attended hearing, very supportive, you know, the growers and others. It was actually quite a landmark. And so I think you can look to them. Central Valley is looking to them. They've got something queued up as well. This isn't an issue that's unique to those regions, you know. And so I think moving forward, we'll be able to standardize the approach. And we're going to learn a lot, clearly, through the implementation of this regulatory program. There's a AB 401 from Dodd. It's the Low Income Water Rate Assistance Program. AB 434, Garcia, Drinking Water Point of Entry and Point of Use Treatment. An urgency bill would require us, the State Water Board, to adopt regulations governing the use of point of entry or point of use drinking water treatment systems by public water systems in lieu of centralized treatment systems. And it would require us to adopt emergency regulations and then specify that they would remain in effect until January 1st, 2018, or until the board adopts the permanent regulations. That'd be through our drinking water division. AB 617 makes some clarifying changes to the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, SGMA. There's another one from Pavley, cleanup bill for that landmark law. AB 888 from Bloom would enact a plastic microbeads nuisance prevention law to get the nanoparticles, plastics out of cosmetics over the counter because of their polluting effect in the ocean. Actually, there was a study this couple weeks ago just released from the San Francisco Estuary Institute that found billions of plastic pieces in the bay. And part of the source of that is these type of products. There's an assembly bill on water conservation on drought-tolerant landscaping, making it so that a homeowners association can't ding you for putting in drought tolerant landscaping. So it's just there's another medical marijuana bill from Senator McGuire, so that'd be one of those things where there'd be reconciliation. And AB 91 was chaptered. It amended the Budget Act to include new appropriations to address the urgent drought needs, and among its provisions, accelerated funding the State Water Board from Proposition 1 for recycled water, drinking water, and wastewater treatment. Accelerated the appropriation of funding for the State Water Board to continue enforcement of drought-related water rights and water curtailment actions, and appropriated $4 million from the cleanup and abatement account for the Water Board to provide emergency safe drinking water to disadvantaged communities impacted by the drought. You saw some a list that Lisa McCann provided in her drought report on the very active part of our agency these days. So that's just a little bit of a flavor for all the activity around water and in the legislature and the State Water Board. We're doing a lot too. And I look forward to hearing more about the stormwater program here in this region. I always brag about how far ahead you all are. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Do we have questions? Yes.
Okay. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Out of curiosity, has the state board itself been dealing a lot more with water rights issues, or are these being handled at the staff level?
Oh, yeah. I appreciate the question. This fall, we have five enforcement actions that have reached the point of a water rights hearing. I was going to be the hearing officer on one for October 5th, but a settlement agreement was signed today. So I'm off the hook on having to be the judge on that one. That was in Trinity County. There's a couple of irrigation district enforcement orders, cease and desist orders for diverting when they didn't, were a junior priority right that had been curtailed. And those are queued up in October. And there's also a riparian diverter that was appropriating water. You know, that's a no-no. If you have a riparian right, you're not allowed to take water and store it. You have to get an appropriative right to do that. And so that somebody in one of the foothill counties. So we are actually following through with enforcement on strategic cases for water rights, and the board is involved.
Thank you.
Dr. Hunter?
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Always great to see you. I'm interested in just a few more comments on the oil and gas regulations and how Bryce Canyon becoming kind of the testing ground, for how those regulations might look, and if we have some idea yet of how the regional boards will get engaged in that process.
Well, yes, and that's an area where I haven't rolled up my sleeves and been real closely involved. Our Chief Deputy Director, John Bishop, has. So he's a great person to ask for that. But, of course, you have John Robertson here at your staff who can provide some very concrete examples of the coordination that's going on.
And just a little housekeeping item, perhaps if you didn't mind, is ask staff at the State Board to send the agenda of WQCC to the board members. Because, you know, I get it as a draft right now as being the chair, but I don't think it has been circulated. And since we're getting close to the WQCC, that may help, you know, our board members prepare. I would appreciate that.
Yeah, sounds good.
And Mayor Delgado.
Yes, thank you. Steve, on the AB 243 medical marijuana expansion of enforcement, I've been to a couple of illegal grows to volunteer to clean up, and there's dead foxes and dead hawks because they eat the poisons at those grows. And my question is on AB 243, is there increased funding to clean up these sites? Because it's my understanding that there's far more sites than agencies have the wherewithal to deal with.
I see that there's fee authority and penalties, and so there could be some revenue generation capacity, but there's nothing in here in the summary about expenditure authority, but I think that would be an important issue to bring up.
So when you said that it expands enforcement, my first thought was that it requires agencies to do more enforcement. Was that thought on target or not?
Yeah, you know, we're kind of cutting our teeth on that whole business by doing these task forces, and our Office of Enforcement is involved. Chris Kerrigan is helping to invent the approach. And so I think of the philosophy we're going forward with is sort of the three-legged stool of education and outreach, because a lot of people want to do the right thing. Regulatory program like the one that was adopted last month by the North Coast Board. So there's a way to follow the rules and then be certified that, yeah, I'm a grower, I'm legitimate, I'm protecting the environment. And then there's the enforcement leg. So, you know, enforcement, regulatory outreach. So I think, you know, like I said, we're learning how to do the enforcement. We've done a couple cases that we try to use the press to publicize them. But we see value in expanding it, but we know full well that we would never be able to solve the problem with enforcement alone. But we think we want to be strategic. And like you say, you know, it's non-trivial the amount of costs that would be involved with restoration of some of these sites. It's like if so much grading in some of these sites that it's like restoring, you know, it's like land reclamation, and that's not cheap.
Just to clarify, the role that the water boards have only pertains to those groves that are grown on private land. So if someone is growing on state or federal lands, That's a trespass issue. That's law enforcement. We don't get involved with that. So we're really regulating what people are growing on their own land, or someone else has permission to grow on somebody else's land.
All right. Thank you very much. So as always, we appreciate your comprehensive report.
Thank you.
And we shall see you in Sacramento in not a very distant future. Thanks again.
Seeing you there. Thank you.
Thank you.